Hi, Jake Tool.
Hello.
I'm probably today in one of the worst moods I've been in a long time.
Are you? I couldn't tell by
Why?
response
Why's
to the
that? Yeah,
minutes.
you didn't seem sassy in our group chat.
Not at all. Poor
It
old
only has
Ben.
gotten worse from there.
Poor Mincy.
Yeah, poor Ben Mincy. Oh, I'm having lunch with my idol, like Lane Kiffin, today. Can we do it at 3 o'clock? Eric Nathan, we record at 2 p.m. every week. Enjoy your lunch.
Enjoy your lunch, period.
Yeah.
It's a sponsored podcast from Whistlepig. Our good friends at Whistlepig are
Great
paying Ben
friends.
Mintz to be here, and he wanted to eat lunch instead.
With Lane Kiffin.
What's his name, Schmitty?
Lane Kiffin.
Are you doing like an old man bit when you add when you add S to Chipotle's and Best Buy's?
It's not Lane Kiffin?
Lane Kiffin.
There's no L in there?
No.
Wow. Well, what are you going to do?
I need to interrupt this conversation and talk to General Smitty for a second here.
Uh-oh. Wait,
Please,
hold on.
please.
Before, wait,
No.
hold on. Before you talk to General Smitty, General Spank, can we address that this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Whistlepig? It comes in cans. Guys, the whiskey distillers at Whistlepig have cut loose. This piggyback barrel-aged craft cocktail in a can is so much better than a seltzer. It's crisp and refreshing, but super bold and flavorful. There's nothing else like it out there. It's 8%. Sign me up. It's made with 100% estate-grown rye from Whistlepig Whiskey Farm. Who knew you could innovate with rye in so many ways? The fruit is barrel-aged in whiskey barrels, giving it those whiskey notes. Now, I am a big whiskey guy, but this is going to be my go-to for tailgates, out on the boat for a bonfire. Honestly, it's perfect for any kickback type of outing. My favorite flavor, hands down, the fresh ginger lime, the blackberry lemon fizz, maybe even the citrus mint. Fellas, if you visit piggybackcraftcocktail.com, you can get more info and find out where you can grab a box in select stores. What is that again? It's piggybackcraftcocktail.com to get your fresh ginger lime, your blackberry lemon fizz, and your citrus mint. It comes in cans. That's Whistlepig. Buy it, drink it, enjoy it. Now, Jake, address General Spank over here.
All hail General Spank.
All hail General Spank. I was had my bachelor party this weekend. Got a little window of time off to just kind of hang, watch some of the All-Star Game festivities. Go on Twitter, see Smitty's streaming some poker. I'm like, hey, yeah, of course I'll support Smitty. Hope to see him win some money. I hope pull it up into what might be the most tilted I've ever seen anyone in the history of poker.
Was bad.
What happened? What was the hand?
I missed it. I don't know.
I bet he got it in bad and lost.
Yeah. I currently we all have a love, well, besides Jake, Nate and I have a Mincy have a love-hate relationship with poker, and currently I hate poker. I'm not sure whether this has to do with live streaming and me playing differently, or me just being a complete useless, brainless, dickless, hopeless ass bag and
But a
just giving
father,
away all
but a
my
father.
but a father of one as
I will say I didn't after I pulled it up when I pulled it up, I didn't judge you on any of the hands that I watched after that. I was like, this isn't A game General Smitty right now.
Yeah, well,
I pulled it up and saw General Spank limp 4-3, and then the next hand limp King Queen suited. So I was like, at least he's balanced. Like that's
yeah.
impressive. Yeah.
Well, okay. First of all,
I
World
think I
Series
saw
of
a diaper
Poker.
limp.
Yeah, World Series of Poker.com and PA games are an absolute joke. If anybody went on there consistently who knew what they were doing, I still don't know what I'm doing, but if anybody did know what they were doing, they'd be a billionaire, or they should be if the statistics work out right. So when I am 100 blinds deep in these tournaments, yeah, I'm gonna fucking limp in and see some action here and there, especially early position. But I went live in two tournaments. One was a $215 circuit event. First place, like 15K. Another was a $55 weekly event, first place like AK. And I was chip lead with 216 people left in the $55 one. And I was like 20th with like 250 people left in the 215. So I was playing well for, you know, the 3 hours beforehand.
Yeah.
And then I went live and, you know, shit literally hit the fan. I think I had feces in my hand and I threw it into the fan with how things went after. I think within like the next 45 minutes, I was down from like 100 blinds on each table to like 20. And you see it live. I mean, there were instances where, you know, I lost a race, I got cooled. And then I just, obviously I wasn't keeping my cool. I wasn't playing, you know, poker. I was playing like a complete ass hat.
That's why we watched, though.
I guess.
I was playing at the same time on the website that must not be named. So Rampage Poker. Also, he wants to come on, or I invited him onto the show for next week, Rampage.
Yep. That'd be great.
Also coming up on today's show, Jake Farrow, 2021 WPT Player of the Year. He plays, he went from playing nightlies, $180 nightlies at the Hard Rock in Florida to playing the Poker Go 50Ks out in Vegas in like the span of a month. So he'll be fun to talk to. Yeah, the dream. I was playing on the website that must not be named because Rampage said he had $148 on it. And I was like, I'll take it. So so I was fucking around. Turn that into anything? What's that?
You turn that into anything other than zero?
It was so sick. I played like this $22, 250K guaranteed tournament. And they have like 29 starting flights for it because they have to meet the 250K guaranteed. And it's so deep stacked and it's really fun. The guy to my right had no idea what he was doing. He was opening like 5X every hand. His VPIP was 100%. And sometimes he was just open shoving like 350 bigs. And so I had 100 bigs. The blinds go up. I'm down to 70 bigs. I'm in the big blind and I have ace queen. And so he's on my right and he just shoves 75 bigs effective. You know, I'm in eighth place out of 50 and 42 make day two. So I have ace queen in the big with 71 big blinds. So obviously I'm like, well, if I call, I double up to 145 bigs. And I'm like, for day two, because it's a 2-day tournament on the website that must not be named, I'm probably like top 20 in chips. Folding would just be like the most pussy shit ever. But like, I still have 70 whatever big blinds and I don't have to deal with this outrageous variance. So I'm like literally tanking like with ace queen in the most easy snap call spot ever. And so I call and he has queen six and he just binks his six on the turn. And I was just like, I think that's just the ACR God just smiting me, just absolutely smiting.
Well, sites that shall not be named.
Blah, blah, blah. What did I say? I said the site that must not be named. That's that was my all-star week. I was high as hell too on the 3-chi.
I played in a couple sites that might not be named as well as I was playing in the two that I was streaming. And even the ones I was streaming, the ones I wasn't.
For the listeners, somehow we're allowed to like say WSOP and stream on WSOP, but literally can't any other site.
There's a reason for that. Number one, WSOP doesn't have a competing sports book.
So that's what I wonder. I think they do though.
Not in PA. Not in PA.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. Okay.
And number two, the site is legal. Technically.
True. Yeah. I got in trouble because the website that must not be named is technically a gray area.
Yeah.
And New York is like super strict about those gray areas, apparently. So it's like, it was a double whammy.
I played poker today.
Wait. So we have a couple things to get to before we get to Jake Farrow. One, Jake, welcome back for your bachelor party. How was it?
It's great.
Where we go?
Lake Tahoe.
Oh, rich man's Vegas.
That's not what they said. We spent a couple nights in the casinos there. They are, you see some characters there, I'll tell you that.
What was your game of choice?
Let me rephrase. Lake Tahoe, the rich man's Poconos.
Yeah.
There's a lake at the Poconos.
Yeah.
Oh no, I mean the lake view is just unbelievable. We did some snowmobiling. You like snowmobile up a hill and then like go around this area that overlooks the lake. It's insane. But as far as the casinos, I'd play blackjack. I never win. Doesn't matter. Just play blackjack, expecting to lose.
Any strippers like take a shit on your chest or anything?
You know, that's not podcast material, but no.
Sure. Wink, wink.
No.
But you had a good time?
I had a great time, yeah. Got back late last night, pretty tired, but decided to play some poker. First poker of the year.
How did you do?
I won a little.
Wow.
I had the semi-retirement washed up rag run good. I don't know if that's a thing, but it felt like it.
Did you sense like the tables were like whispering about you? Like, that's Jake. He's back. Like, Jake's back.
I could feel the fear.
Yeah. Would you play 5-10?
There was one 5-10, 1-10-20 going, and then a few 2-5s.
Same regulars as before?
Yeah, for the most part. For the most part. I mean, that's kind of like the good thing about, it's probably a little different in Vegas, but the good thing about New Jersey is you don't get a ton of like new faces. Every once in a while, there'll be someone pretty sharp that shows up, but
yeah, I feel like people
stuck with the guys that are here, which
people who want to dive into like professional online poker are more likely to move to Vegas than New Jersey.
I mean, maybe the allure of living in Vegas is much if you really wanted to like move up stakes and like build up a bankroll and being younger, I would for sure recommend New Jersey over.
It's just not as appealing.
Well, no. What would be the appeal of being a strictly online player in Vegas?
Oh, so you can also go play live, I mean, and just live in Vegas as opposed to...
Yeah. Quality of life, of course.
Speaking of Rampage, she just bought a house in Vegas. Like,
yeah, I saw that.
You got that YouTube money like you read about. Like, he just fucking bought a house in Vegas. I mean, he won a Venetian for like, what, $200K, and he won a bracelet and online, like he's done well. And like, but that YouTube money is nothing to fuck around about, man. Like,
yeah.
Jake, you put a video, he made like 150K on YouTube alone last year.
I think more, 180.
It's crazy, man. So good for him. He's what, 23, 24. He's living. Like he's living it.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, we can talk to him about this next week, but I mean, I didn't really know about him until we had him on the podcast, but I started to like follow him on YouTube and on Twitter, and he's killing it.
Yeah, just playing like 50-100 streamed games at like
He was literally playing like 1-2 at Boston Billiards, 2-3 at whatever, 1-3 at Boston Billiards.
Yeah, like, he was like driving to Vermont to play like the 1-1-2 game like in the Northeast, and now he's just buying houses in Vegas.
I mean, that's honestly like that's definitely some good inspiration for younger people.
Yeah.
You don't really see that much. I mean, we're going to have Jake Farrell on, who is probably pretty similar.
Yeah, but he comes with like more of the cautionary side of it. Like, he said he's like the biggest degen he's ever met. So we'll talk to him.
Yeah, for sure.
Before we get to Jake, that slow roll of from Dylan to Matt Berkey.
No.
No what?
Garrett Adelstein.
What'd I say?
Matt Berkey.
Oh my God, I get them confused. Is that racist of me? two white guys.
I feel offended.
I thought you were saying no to the slow roll.
I wasn't sure. Yeah, I was confused.
Yeah. Oh, no. I just want to make sure you get the name right.
Yeah, so this guy Dylan, he plays on a lot of these like high stakes streams. I guess he's like independently rich or there's a lot of like conflicting stories about his money, but he seems to be somewhat of a winner in poker, but there's been compilations of he's such a dickhead at the table, like such he berates players, he's just kind of like a cocksucker at the tables, and so he slow rolls Garrett, who's like one of the more respected just like noble guys in the poker world, and he hits him with the nice hand, so G-man flips over his hand and he river top pair. And Dylan's known for being super aggressive, and he can, you know, more or less have been bluffing there, of course. So G-Man has no reason not to think that the good call was sincere. And then he goes, just kidding, and he flips over a turn set of fours. The slow rolls to me are funny. Dylan did it in such like a you're going to like this word, Smitty, snide way, where he didn't do it in like a place.
It wasn't funny. It was terrible.
It wasn't funny.
It was like the word, at least have some like fanfare with it.
Right. And that's exactly my issue with it. Not the slow roll itself, because slow rolls can be funny in any given situation, especially on stream. He just didn't. He could have made it more of like a fun thing, and he just did it in just like a just kidding. Like,
do they have any history or anything?
No, they just play together a lot, I guess.
Yeah, he did it for the sake of being a dick, not for the sake of being funny. I'm not sure whether he knew it was being filmed, but he would have done the same exact move if it wasn't being
filmed. I mean, he was playing on the stream, like he knew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the issue is like, I'm pro slow roll because like, if you execute it correctly, everybody should have a laugh, especially if you've played with these people over and over again, or you know them. The way he did it was just like, not funny. Just be
a dick.
Are you still pro slow roll if it's like a 200K pot? I'm curious. I don't know how I feel about it.
Brother, I'm not the one in the pot. So from the outside, yes. Like,
I guess like for you, if you were playing and you were playing, you know, you called the river in, I don't know, it was a 20K pot or something, and someone said, nice hand, just kidding to you. Like,
you probably feel
like a pretty big gut-wrenching feeling.
I like villains. I'm a villain guy. I appreciate villains. You just have to be a good one. Like, right. Dylan's, I think he thinks he's a good one, and I guess we're talking about him, but like, he's not... I guess he is a good one, but there's some, like, you know, like the bad guy in wrestling. If you're a really good bad guy, people are like, that guy's really good at being a bad guy. But then there's also the bad guys in wrestling who people are like, that guy's just annoying. Like, I don't want him on my screen. Like, that's not the good bad guy. Like, I like the villains to just be villains, not to be just like annoying. I think Jamie Gold is like a good in between there. He's both. He's a great villain.
Oh, he's just an ass.
No, but he was really good at it. Like, you could not stop watching Jamie Gold. Like, he is must-see TV.
Well, when you won every single pot and led from fucking gun to gun during the
09 best main event run in history, Jamie Gold.
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously incredibly impressive at the time. He just kind of steamrolled everybody and made all the right moves with his speech play.
They made rules, so, like, literally, like, they made the Jamie Gold rule because he was so good at it.
But I don't know this. Yeah, this just. You're also just not going to get a reaction out of Garrett. Like, what does he expect?
I like playing devil's advocate. It's poker and it is a mind game type of game. And you got to get every edge you can. If Dylan thought that he could. Yeah. Because Garrett is a stone, you know, he's a gargoyle. Like, you're not going to get a reaction. If you can try to do anything to get him, because he's one of the best players in the world. If you can do anything to get him off his game, there's no rule against it. It's not like slow rolling is illegal or anything. It's just like kind of bad bedside manner. But I guess Dylan's thought process is there. Like, if I can do anything to rattle this guy, to tilt him a little bit, I got to take advantage of it. So in that aspect of the poker game itself, like, I respect it, I guess.
Can we talk about something else on the topic of tilting?
I slow rolled Smitty once and he almost threw his laptop at my face.
I don't know about that.
We'll have to find that clip. It was so long ago.
I think you slow rolled. Like, I folded kings to you heads up without, maybe an ace was on the board, or I folded kings to you and you had like 8-2. Like, I deserve to lose.
Find this stuff. Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of things have been canceled. But you want to talk about tilting? How about for the first time in 3 years going to your local Borgata in Atlantic City, trying to enter, you know, this low level mid-major 400 hour tournament and having to fucking wait in a line from the cages into the Atlantic Ocean?
Yes. And that's almost not hyperbole. It was the entire casino. It was the entire casino. They ran a $400, 200K guaranteed President's Day, whatever tournament. First tournament back at Borgata, I believe, in 3 years. No pre-reg, no online reg, only day of registration. 6 hours, whatever, to wait in line, span the whole casino.
Wait, was it actually 6 hours? Like, what were people saying?
I believe, like, the longest someone waited in, like, last guy in line, 6 hours.
No way.
That person should be taken outside and thrown in the fucking ship if you're waiting 6 hours.
I mean,
like, seriously.
Yeah. Well, they had multiple flights. I think they started in a morning flight, and then there's a 7 p.m. flight that's sold out. It's sold out at like noon.
Yeah.
Because I think they have a dealer shortage.
Dealer shortage, I can guarantee no more than zero people were working those cages.
Yeah.
I would guess it was two. I don't know the facts. I would guess it was
max.
But they didn't I was told they didn't have they had zero cash games running because they had to use them all the dealers that used them all for the tournament.
They had zero cash games running during it?
Yeah.
Those cash game regulars, they got to be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
They got to be furious. There are people who live down there 24/7.
Yeah, it's
brutal. Before we hop into our interview with WPT Player of the Year, let's talk about our friends at 3Chi. It's the industry leader in Delta 8 and other THC products such as vapes, edibles, gummies, and more. If you go to 3chi.com, that's number 3chi.com, and use code ACES, you get 5% off your purchase. You must be 21 or older, and you must use it responsibly, as I do every night to go to bed. I am heavy into two things right now, matcha and the Delta 8 THC drink mixes. What are those? Powder, and you put it in your drink, and you stir it around, and it gets you high. It's not CBD. CBD stinks. This Delta 8 is the real deal. If you recall, when we were in Vegas, Ben Mintz, who's currently eating lunch, so he couldn't join us, he was breathing heavy into the mic because he was so high on the 3Chi. I really like the drink enhancers because you just sip water at night out of your water bottle, and voila, you're in the clouds. Again, all the products are formulated by a biochemist and made in the USA with USA grown hemp. It's federally legal. Don't get it twisted, fellas. It's federally legal and a more functional alternative to marijuana. Amazing buzz, great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and less paranoia. Go to 3Chi, number 3chi.com. Use code ACES, save at checkout. We all use it. It reduces my anxiety at night. I sleep like a baby. Smitty has a baby. And sometimes when he takes it, he doesn't even hear his baby crying at 3 a.m. So it's great if you're a father. It's fantastic if you're a father. Again, 3chi.com, promo code ACES. Do it.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Great. We have to figure out a way to differentiate the Jakes right now. We have Jake Tool and Jake Farrow.
JT and JF.
Yeah, JF. Sounds French-Canadian as well. wait, did you play online like pre-Black Friday?
Yeah. Full Tilt and Stars. But I just played tournaments, no cash, and not too much, honestly. Maybe like 3-4 nights out of the week. I had a job back then, so couldn't play too much. But hit some scores, nothing major. But yeah, always been more of a live guy.
We were reading about you before, you know, doing our pre-show prep for about 7 minutes, and you have a hell of a story. You know, you tried to go pro, it failed, as it does for a ton of people. You went back to having a job, then you're like, this whole having a job thing sucks, I want to play poker again. And it's more or less worked out wonderfully the second time, I suppose.
Yeah. So I played professionally when I turned 21, had a backer. Me and a buddy, we used to just travel around, play tournaments, play cash games everywhere. my backer ended up going broke. so that was a problem. And I wasn't doing too well either. So I had to join the workforce again. My dad owns a trucking company, so it was kind of easy just to get back into work. Did that, and COVID hit and realized I needed to do something else. I can't just be this 9-to-5 guy. And luckily, I moved down to Florida. My parents have a place down here. Hit the Best Bet Jacksonville, Maine for 120, finished second in that in March of 2020. And kind of haven't looked back since.
Nice.
What was your bankroll looking like before you banked that for 120?
So I had maybe like 4K to my name.
I love it.
And I played in the $2,200 main. I actually satellited into it though, so I didn't use, you know, all my money. Yeah. Satellited into it, finished second in that. And then the next like 3-4 months, I pursued to blow every single dollar I had.
And was that just from playing too high, or was that from other?
You know, I started playing a little higher, but I lost a lot of money in crypto, and I also partied my ass off. And flew friends places, Vegas, Cali, flew people down to Florida here. Had a fun couple months, I'll tell you that much. But the money doesn't last forever, that's for sure. So I got low again, and ended up going down and playing in that series down in Hollywood. And that one, I played the opening event. It was a $600. I think it was like a 1 million guarantee. I ended up placing 20th in that for like 7,000. And then hopping into the main right after, and that's the one where I took second for about 570.
Yeah, I mean, your Hendon mob is hysterical. It's like $100 nightly, $100 nightly, $180 nightly, $3,200 WPT second for $573,000. And then a 50K poker go for fifth for $184,000. It's...
Yeah, so I just pretty funny how all that happened. Like, so I went out to Vegas, played the five diamond, did pretty well in that. And when I was in the five diamond, I had Kerry Katz at my table. And as you guys know, he runs like a Poker Go, the studio and all that. And I overheard him talking about the 50K they were going to have. And at the time, I didn't think anything of it, because that's just crazy to get in at that time. Just to think about getting in a $50,000 tournament was something that I could never even imagine. But I ended up placing like 14th in the five diamond. And my buddy who I was out there with, he's like, bro, you're up about 100 on the trip. Go play the 50K. And I was just like, bro, those players are so good. No shot can I ever like compete with them. And he just like was hyping me up, telling me, you're the hottest player in the game right now. You got this. Confidence is crazy. Just go try it. So I sold about 50% of myself to my friends. I got a group of guys who want to buy every piece of me in every tournament, close friends that I've known since 10 years old. So they got in, and we ended up cashing. We ended up final tabling that one. But my table was just so stupid. Bonomo, Foxen, I think Berkey. It was just killers. It was a good experience, though, for sure.
Did you go ahead, Smitty?
Yeah. So how did you play sitting down with them? Were you just cocky as all hell, being all confident and juiced up, or did you like
No, I actually went for it against Ali in this one hand. He defended the big blind. I raised under the gun, like 10-6 of diamonds. He defended the big blind, and it came 4-4 deuce. And he knew I was shot taking in this tournament. So he was basically like, I'm just going to own Jake here. And, so it came 4-4 deuce. He check raised me. I called 10x. It was a king. He bombed like pot. And I'm just like, fuck it. I'm all in. And when I went for it, just because I knew my image was just like, I'm going to fold many hands here. And I don't have many good hands. And he's just bet sizing just didn't seem right to me. So he bombed it and I shoved. And it wasn't even much more to call, but like, I just knew he had to be like super tip top of his range in order to call me. And he snap folded. And I was just like, thank God.
Did you show?
No, you can't show those guys anything, right? Yeah. You cannot show those guys anything. As much as I would have wanted to, if I showed him anything, he's just going to exploit the hell out of me.
It's funny, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, but like, I appreciate that you're like, these guys are like so much better than I am. And like, you understand that, but you can also like understand that and use it to your advantage the best that you can.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty like, I play every day. So, I mean, and I play with really good players. I bounce ideas off of really good players. So as much as I say like, yeah, they're way better than me. I mean, most of them are just absolute killers. I know that I can play with them. So, I'm confident as all hell, but I'm also a realist and know that these guys are just unbelievable.
Yeah, I said that because I was reading an article, I think with Pocket Fives or something, where you were talking about Ali and you're just like, just talking about how like next level he is. So I was using that. I wasn't making that up.
Yeah, those guys are just absolutely insane. I mean, the studying they do, you know, I do studying here and there, but I mean, those guys are every day, you know, studying, you know, bouncing ideas off each other, and they're the best in the world. So, you know, it's just nice to have other friends in the game that are just insane. So
after you finish fifth in the 50K, do you kind of take like a breath and like, all right, let me get like my finances in order. Let me get my life in order. So I don't, you know, go back to the 9 to 5.
Exactly. Yes. So always bankroll management has always been a bit of an issue with me. Not the best with it.
No.
So as you can tell by my head and mob, I'm sure. I just sat down for a minute, you know, invested some money, you know, made sure, you know, I'm not going to be playing above my means, you know, I play a 10-10 game, and that's the biggest I'll play in terms of cash games. And you won't see me playing any other 50Ks. I did go play the Poker Go Cup, the first three events, the 10K, 10K, and then a 15K. And did not do any good in those. I got in good a couple of times, but I don't plan on playing these huge tournaments much. I know I could sell action to them, but it just doesn't really make sense playing against these guys who are just the best. We're taking chances with these 3,500 World Poker Tour events. And, you know, all these, you know, the lower buy-ins, even the openers, the 600s, the 400s. I've been doing really well in these bigger field tournaments lately. So,
yeah, it seems like you've been on a roll with them. That's, you know, that's certainly probably a smart approach to take, especially, you know, in some of those bigger buy-in 25K, 50Ks versus those types of players where there's really not many. You know, you might get like one or two soft spots in that whole field. But you, like, based on your
right. club,
you clearly are crushing these big field events.
Yeah, man. Final table, the back to back at the Hollywood, which was nice. It's always nice going down there now. You know, everyone, you know, says hello to me. Guys coming up to me that I never even knew. You know, is saying like, "Oh, we're rooting for you." Even like the floor people. I just love playing the game, love all the players down there, and it's nice getting a little respect, you know.
Where do you live in Florida? Are you close by?
I'm Tampa. Okay. Yeah, I play at the Hard Rock here in Tampa all the time. I'm actually here right now. I'm on the 10-10 list. I'm gonna go mix it up a little bit with these guys.
So your last result, you finished ninth at the Tampa WPT?
That was in Hollywood. That was the 3,500 in Hollywood. Yeah.
So you came off of a second at a WPT and then a fifth at the 50K. When you, so really? You final table bubbled, I guess it was an 8-handed final table. Was that, it was still for 97K. Were you bummed? Were you disappointed? Because it was close to a mil for first. And was it humbling in a way that you were running so hot and then it's like, boom, ninth, like so close to another huge score?
Yeah, so let me just take you back to the 5-diamond in Vegas, because that was the 10K right after the 3,500 where I won 570. And I had all the chips going into day 4 or 5, I think it was. And I came into the day with like 2.5 million and I bluffed off 2.5 million. And I keep going back to that one. Like, and that one should have been like another final table. And it was 1.2 million for first. Like, I really screwed up that one. But in the same sense, you have to be able to have this image of someone that'll just, you know, punt, someone that can punt. Because if not, no one's ever going to call you in certain situations. So I'm glad that's out there. I played against a couple really good players that saw me punt. So so that was nice. But yeah, in terms of that one down in Hollywood, I lost a race, eights to ace 10. At the final table there, or else I would have been sitting pretty. But I'm kind of just taking this in. I know I'm running way better than expected. I think the other day in a tournament, I lost aces to ace king all in pre, and I was like, you know what, I don't remember how that felt. I've been running so pure. It's nice when you're running pure, but I can understand that This won't last forever. So I got to keep playing well. And the run good won't last forever. I know that.
Yeah, Nate was clapping at your punting and how it looks good sometimes. Nate is the confirmed Jeff Fiegels of professional poker or amateur poker. A punting, you know, it's also good to win alongside having that image.
But so on that bluff, right, your 2.5 mil chip bluff, he could have folded and this wouldn't even be a story, right?
Yeah, but you'd have possibly $1.2 million fucking dollars.
Yeah.
You have to bluff to get the $1.2 million.
Not obviously not all the time.
Only if they fucking call.
If my aunt had a dick, she'd be an uncle.
I'd suck your uncle's dick then.
And now he's frozen. Look what you did, Smitty. Sorry, well, it wasn't me. It was my dick full aunt.
Oh, you're back. So that bluff, would you do it again?
So on both, so it was two different bluffs, two different hands. The guy who won it, it was once against the guy who won it, and the other one was against the guy who finished second. I doubled both of them up. And both of the times, though, this is the only thing that makes me happy about it. Both times we got to the river, and I punted on river. They both got there on the river. So one guy made a straight on the river, and the other guy made a top full house on the river. So I guess I was, if they don't make their hands on the river, I'm going to win the hand. It just was kind of a couple shitty rivers. And yeah, if those shitty rivers don't come, I mean, my bluffs are going to work.
Is this a car you bought with your?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It looks like a Tesla. Yeah.
No, not.
Wow.
The Mercedes S-Class 560. I had to splurge a little bit.
But no more flying private with all your friends to Vegas. Is that in the rear view?
No flying girls to Vegas. No flying them down to Florida. I gotta relax a little bit.
But those party days.
Currently looking at places down here in Florida. Oh yeah, man. I like to party. I like to have some fun. And after that 570, a couple of my buddies who had pieces of me flew down from New York. we hopped in a car right after that. We had about 400,000 cash on us and went straight to live in Miami. It was a pretty fun time. As a matter of fact, I think Dave had a table like near us, Portnoy. I think he had a table, like it was pretty close.
Probably.
And yeah, we had a fucking night, I'll tell you that much.
You went out with 400k cash. How much did you go home with?
Well, we kept it in the safe in the room, all right? And I think we spent like 20 that night. So.
Oh, that's not bad.
Well, man. Worth it. Well worth it, man.
I thought it was well worth more. It. Yeah, that's not bad.
No. I mean, I'm crazy, but not that crazy.
So what's next for you? Just continue grind cash, play the WPT, yeah, and go out to Vegas for WSOP?
Yeah, man. What's cool is the WPT, they put me up. Since I won the Player of the Year, they put me up every time they have a series, a stop. So they pay for my rooms. They pay for my tournament. So I'm just kind of following that. I'm actually going out this Friday to the Win Millions. I'm going to play that mystery bounty, and then basically, play the main there and then, figure it out from there. I know there's some good tournaments in Vegas as well, other than the Win Millions. So, I'm don't have much planned, just kind of, winging it, wherever looks good is where I'm going.
Be safe out there. Keep the strip clubs to a minimum.
Yeah. Strictly business when I go out. All right. Strictly business. No one's coming with me. I'm just going to relax and, you know, no clubs, no strip clubs this time around.
We're going to check in on you a week. When are you going out there?
I'm going out there this Friday.
We're going to check up on you a week from Friday and see how that no strip clubs, no business only is going.
I know my friends are listening to, they're going to listen to this and laugh at what I just said, but yeah, I'm going to try to keep it all business.
Okay, well, you're the worst liar in the world, so good luck.
Hey, I bet you I could get a bluff off on you on the poker table, though, all right?
Well, good luck out in Vegas. When, which one do you want to win? Just win the Win Millions. Is that like a 10 mil guaranteed?
The win. It's a 10 mil guarantee, man. I've never played it, and that's the one to win. All right, I think probably like 2 million up top or something. So yeah, that's the one to win right there.
If you win that, we'll all fly out there.
And yeah, we'll break the rule. Break the rule. Well, strictly business rule.
Jake Toole will go to Encore Beach Club.
Yes, yes.
I'm seeing Jake Love Toole it. Just throwing dollars in the air.
Yes. Man, I've seen that happen multiple times there.
All right. Well, best of luck. And we are going to be keeping tabs on you because none of us believe you. So.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. You guys have a good week here. And thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks, man.
Good luck, man.
See ya.
Yep. See you, Daisy, Jake. Yep. Bye-bye.
Did he say that WPT pays for his hotels and tournaments?
The rich get richer, man. You win. Well, he won WPT Player of the Year, so now he's kind of like a walking billboard.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So like, I mean, I assume that's just the perk of winning it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get next year's buy-in. It's probably one bullet a stop, and they pay for your transportation and hotel.
It's a pretty sick perk for like that adds up. If you're, especially if you're going to play them anyway.
What do you mean that adds up? That's 100K right there.
Yeah, I don't know how many stops they have, but $3,500 main events across the world. If they fly him, put him in hotel and a bullet for the main, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's sick.
Especially because you can be broke and you just know you still have all these shots that you can like.
It's well, a year, probably not it's a year of free rolls.
You just won the WPT.
No, I'm saying even if you be, well, go to live enough times, but like,
yeah, right.
You can also sell action to those free rolls and you're just pocketing money.
That's true. Jake, smart man.
Could be you.
Smart man. I could win WPT Player of the Year if I win both WBTs that I play in 1 year.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Well, that's also interesting. If you win the first one, would you like kind of ramp it up if you were like top 10 in the rankings? It's not worth it to you?
If I won one, let's say I won one halfway through the year and I was in contention, I'd probably start to play a few more.
Okay, so you would.
Yeah, but okay. if I won the one in January, I wouldn't be like, all right, I got to dedicate the rest of the year to playing all these WPTs. I just wouldn't.
But at least you could look at a map and be like, hey, I've always wanted to go to, I don't know, Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, you pick out a few more.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that because if I won, like, let's say I won that Hollywood one for whatever, 800, 900K, like my day-to-day poker playing schedule is going to be drastically different.
You just be back on New Jersey 1-2 the next day.
that would be Greg Merson would be.
Yeah, he is a fucking grinder.
So then I guess it would make sense for me to like plan out maybe a little bit more of a live schedule, but I don't know.
Maybe then you can make Doug Polk's list.
I kind of doubt that.
Did you see that? So Doug Polk is, I guess, listing the 100 best poker. I mean, you know, it's impossible to do so many different disciplines and eras of poker, but
there's obviously like, basically it's an easy list to make until you try to narrow it down to like any number.
Yeah.
There's always like a solid several names.
Yeah, right, you around, have like, Ivy, Galfond, Jungleman, Haxton. Right.
But Seidel. I mean, like, whether you're doing like top 10, like the 12th, the 11th to 15th are like, that's going to be a huge point of contention, or top 25, the 26th to 30th are going to be like guys that are going to be left off. So it's good discussion. I thought it was pretty cool to see because there are so many like elite players from now, like a few decades that you would think would be placed somewhere.
He has your boy Olivier on there, but did not put Jake Toole.
No.
Sean Deeb, but no.
The disrespect.
Barry Greenstein. I can beat Barry Greenstein in poker, but no Jake Toole.
You know, I actually, back in, this is pre-Black Friday, probably 2010, I won the weekly Stars PLB leaderboard, and I got to play Barry Greenstein heads up for 3K.
I remember those days.
Yeah.
I had no business winning that thing. They awarded weekly, monthly, yearly.
Yeah.
And I won like four tournaments that week and I won the PLB and I beat Barry Greenstein in a heads up sit and go for 3K.
You beat him, which means you hate charity?
Yeah.
Good I beat him. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
man. I did. I was a different man back then. I would throw it today.
Barry Greenstein, man, all time didn't see the future coming, like, guy, where he was so good at poker before the internet that his whole shtick was he gave all tournament winnings to charity because he was just cleaning up in cash games. And he was like, I'm so rich, I'm just going to give all my tournament winnings to charity. And then, like, the internet was created and he just got wiped out. And he's like, fuck.
The Robin Hood of poker.
Money back.
Didn't he get canceled for something?
Canceled?
Maybe not canceled, but
I don't know.
He wasn't a part of the Full Tilt thing, but I thought, like, something happened with him.
I don't.
Maybe I'm confused. I don't know. Somebody else.
He's a Robin Hood into Asian women. I don't know. That's all I really know.
Oh, well, I'm sure that's a cancelable comment. But
no Jake Toole. Devilfish David Uliott at 98, but no Jake Toole. TJ Cloutier.
I would never think I'm above the Devilfish.
What about Jennifer Tilly?
Did she make the list?
I mean, this is just like he didn't, you know, after like the top 10 or so, you know, it's not really ranked. There's just like a huge list of players. But yeah, she is on.
There's many. I mean, no offense to Jen Tilly. There's just probably there's a lot of female poker players that I would put.
No, actually, major offense to Jake Toole, but when you have that Simpsons money still coming in, bankrolling, yeah, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
You're not wrong.
Dude,
Simpsons I would play every single hand if I had the backing Jennifer Tilly has. Like, without shame. I might go all in.
You don't have that bankroll and you already do.
Yeah.
No, I instead of limping in like a jack of brony, I'd go all in every hand.
Like the guy on my right, big yeah. Man 182 on ACR on the site that must not be named.
Maybe that was Jen Tilly.
It might have been. It was probably General Spank.
All hail General Spank. I wish I was half decent at poker just so whenever I went on a pot, I could just all caps type out all hail General Spank.
Before we go, if you notice Jake Toole's hair right now, you're probably wondering, how does it look so good? And you know what I would tell you? He's using the wood. I can't even do this ad read. They want us to do the in-house, like, Jake, do you know this shit is? Have you seen it? It's like Barstool created like our own like line of like male. What are they even called? Beauty products? I don't even know. Grooming products.
I do. I am in the market for some grooming tools. Maybe a moisturizer.
Oh my heavens! Well, you are in luck. Wood is for the guy that knows that his best life doesn't just come to him. He has to go out and find it. With Wood products, you'll look your best, smell your best, and feel your best. Now all you have to do is live your best. The scents are Golden Hour, Summer House, and Fresh Tracks, because those are real smells. We have hair care, moisturizer, deodorant, facial cleanser, body and beard care, and more. They want us to talk about how easy it is to level up literally everything in your bathroom all at once. Jake, you can level up everything in your bathroom all at once. Everything is neat and organized at CVS. Or you can go to Get Wood. That's not WOOD. It's WOULD.com to get the shampoo, conditioner, body wash, deodorant, in Summer House, Golden Hour, and Fresh Tracks. All the shit. Pomades. I don't even know what a pomade is, but we have it. Beard conditioner, beard oil, shaving cream, and all products are sulfate-free and $15 or less. Go to GetWood.com. Level up your life.
You don't know what pomade is?
What's pomade?
That's what George Clooney puts in his hair. No, brother, we're out there.
Oh, well, that's why I don't know what it is. I don't have any hair.
No. There you go.
Oh, life update for me. I finally bought like a at-home head shaver so I don't have to go to the barbershop to get them to shave my head every couple weeks. I just takes 3 minutes at home. Gonna save myself. So my line of thinking is all that money I'm gonna save from that, I can just put on to online poker.
Yeah. I mean, you see, bless you. You see how much money Riggsy's been shaving.
Riggsy? What, he has a big beard?
No, he still shaves his head. I would assume so.
Oh, I would assume so.
I gotta shave my beard.
Why?
It's too long.
Look at mine. I'm a caveman.
Yeah, you're thick.
Big thick. It's all, oh, you can't tell in this lighting, a ton of gray in it, like a ton of gray.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to.
I've got way too many grays.
Yeah, so you're gonna dye.
No, I'm actually feeling a lot better. But
dye your beard. I mean, or dye your hair. I mean,
yeah, it's within a year. There's going to need to be a decision made which way I'm going.
Well, you're stay the silver fox.
Yeah, what do you care?
Look at
you. You look great.
But you can never go back. If I stay, like if I color it, then I can have a choice of when. But if I go silver fox, like there's no go back. My father turned white at like 32. Like white.
Yeah. Remember Barstool Millmore? He was he was silver before 30, I would say. Like,
does he have the greatest job in the world?
Riggs and Millmore, yeah. Riggs just puts up on Instagram, where am I? And it's just another golf course in Arizona. And then he sells $10 million worth of merch. And he works hard. He spends a ton of time doing merch and the Barstool Classic golf thing. Like, he does do work, but he also owns a house on Pinehurst, I think owns a house in Arizona, and plays golf 365 days a year. Like, he played like weddings, funerals, like I think he got shot one day and still played one-handed. Like, he plays golf every single day. How do we get a WPT sponsorship? I want to go play WPTs.
That would be our Riggsy drink, essentially.
Yeah. So we don't have the talent or the drive.
Well, Riggs doesn't really have the talent.
No, I meant like the business talent, that business acumen.
When's the
I think it's different.
Poker tour starting.
Yeah, I think that's a little different. I think when you have millions and millions of literal rich people, like, who are obsessed with golf, going to that desired market, in which is been yearning for something else besides old crusty whiteheads trying to
the Barstool stuff.
I think a poker had that.
It is like a pipe dream, but they're more focused on sportsbook, sports betting, opening up new states. Maybe one day we've had meetings. I don't know. It is a pipe dream though. And we just do our little podcast, you know, an hour a week. When Ben Mintz isn't eating lunch, he joins us. And I like it. You know, we're not going to be part of my take, but like, I don't know. I like talking with the fellas about poker.
Not with that attitude, Eric.
No, you know, like you do a bunch of shit. Jake is a professional poker player. Ben Mintz is keeping the company afloat on the Mintzy tour. And we're just the little cracking aces that could. Everybody that listens, we love you guys. Y'all are the best. Keep supporting the team. And WSOP is literally 3 months from now.
April,
May. It usually starts last weekend of May.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. So schedule should be out soon. I assume we will talk about the schedule on the podcast next week, if I'd assume. I feel like the schedule's always out by now.
No, it's not out yet.
It's not out yet, but I feel like it has to be any day now.
It usually comes like around now, maybe early March.
Oh, does it sometimes go into March?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure.
I mean, logistically speaking, with the new setup,
yeah,
who knows?
We were talking about that in Florida, where like with the dealer, where the dealer's like at the table, where they're for sure going to have like a satellite parking lot for people who drive in, you know, because they won't have the huge Rio parking lot, but they logistically will not do a good job getting people from the parking lot to the WSOP. So I can't imagine how many, you know, restarts or like days are going to be delayed because they're just all the dealers are stuck in traffic on the strip and shit like that. So that's just something to look out for this coming WSOP. That all being said, this was episode 124. That is Mr. Jake Toole. That is Adam Smith. I'm Eric. Ben Mintz is probably finishing his soup about now. And we'll be back next week with probably Rampage Poker, the biggest star on the internet streets right now. Jake Toole, take us home. But take us home as if you were Smitty.
All hail General Spank.